Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Sarah Lazars, and I serve as,
Just stand where you are.
I serve as feedback for the church. I serve as the outreach coordinator currently in the church, and I've been a member here for 10 years, I guess, almost 10 years. Everyone is invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, which is right through these doors. If you're a newcomer this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. It will send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. If you have children with you, they are invited to attend our religious education program during the service when the children leave for classes later on in the service. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. If you'd like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in the fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with members and learn more, and encourage current members to seek out visitors and share with them this beloved community. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Are we all feeling welcome now? Okay, we have some announcements.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. That means I'll be here for 2 years in a consulting role. Well, hopefully 2 years. We'll see how it goes. Yes, change is hard, someone said. Did it go? One of the big changes that we are making is moving from spoken announcements from those gathered to having written announcements. I will invite those who have done announcements to stand so we know who we are looking to. And so first I'll invite Sarah Johnson to stand so you know who he is. And he has three announcements for us. You can be seated. Spiral's barn raising is next weekend. Please join us in this special opportunity to support Spiral. We need all hands on deck. No special skills set required. We are also passing the hat again today for any last moment donations. All proceeds will go to making Spiral's home more livable for the winter. Please see Sarah by the fireplace after the service if you have any questions, or check out the invite on Facebook. Also, please join us for Day of the Dead fundraiser, Saturday, November 1st at 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. $20 for adults includes taco bar, drinks, storytelling, tarot, and interactive altar. $10 for youth includes food and activities. If you need childcare, please communicate with Sayer ASAP for special pricing. Don't forget your checkbooks for our auction. And if you have goods or services, please see Sandy. Where's Sandy? There we go. There, please see Sandy. If you are a person who would have a hard time affording $20 per person and $10 per kid, please contact Reverend Sunshine and we will see what we can do to assist you. We have a sign-up sheet for food donations for the Day of the Dead celebration fundraiser in the Kate Worker Room behind these doors. It is a great, easy way to contribute an item or two to keep our overhead down. See Kathleen for questions and you sign up. Kathleen here? Yes. All right. Sarah Lazars can stand. Right behind me. I'm looking for you, like. Next Kensington Academy Neighborhood Workday is November 8th, Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Inclement weather date is November 15th. Bring any saws or shovels and work gloves. If you have questions, please see Sarah. Today is the Alton Landmark House Tour. If you are able to stay or come back this afternoon to host, we would appreciate it. The tour goes from noon to 5 p.m. Please see Sarah or Claudia. Is Claudia in the house? She's in the kitchen for information. Okay. Juliet. Juliet is our acting religious education coordinator, and we have a couple of announcements from her. A religious education spirit play for pre-K to kinder elementary. We'll have Nature Sunday, youth group for sixth grade and up. Is that it? Okay. And a parent orientation makeup for Our Whole Lives session will be today at 11:50. In addition, I will be leading a queer introduction to queer theologies program at 11:50 to 12:50 today. If you've ever had a question about that word queer and whether we should be using it, and you know, why is this an academic area of study and all those fun things, this will be a great thing to attend. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements.
This morning, we welcome renowned Unitarian Universalist musician Jim Scott with us in worship and community. We begin our worship service with a prelude performed by Jim Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Renowned musician. Well, Jim is old enough to be 1U, started at the Universalist Church in Norwell, Massachusetts, and over the last 30 years, Jim's been to over 600 UU churches. Jim helped to start the Green Sanctuary, create the Green Sanctuary program, and he has hymns in the hymn book, or hers, or whatever they are, however we do it here. I played for many years with the Paul Winter Consort, and this is a song I got to sing with the consort all the time. It's been attributed to me, but I didn't write it. Is this on now? Okay. I don't hear it here. You hear it out there, right? Ivan Lins, a great Brazilian composer, wrote this samba tune. And we put new English words to it. So it is in English. And there's a chorus. And we can do it in two languages like this. In a circle of friends, this means friends when you hook your fingers together. In a circle of sound, try that much. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground. Okay, you can stop frowning at me now, and I know how we are. We've never seen anything like this before, but if you're not gonna sing along, you can just smile along, it's good. Voices are calling out the earth. Music is rising in the sea. The spirit of morning fills the air, guiding my journey home. Where is the path beyond the forest? Where is the song I always knew? I remember it just around the bend. In the village, the music never ends. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground. Where is the melody we need? There is a certain harmony, even a rhythm in the trees, in the song that we've always known. As every road comes to its end, so every path must cross again. Now I'm returning to my heart, back to the song that is our own. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sounds, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground. Round the earth, music is rising in the sea. The spirit of morning fills the air, guiding my journey home. Here is the path beyond the forest, here is the song I always knew. I remember it just around the bend, in the village the music never ends. In a circle, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground. Let's do it one more time. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground.
And Ben Heft lit our chalice during the prelude. And I just want to say that was awesome. Thank you so much. Loved it. I had no idea yesterday when I met you that was in you. It was great.
Didn't know he'd be any good.
Who's that weird guy with the guitar? Our call to worship. This is from Nancy Negroni speaking at 1994 Boston Pride. Someone once asked me, "Are you really queer?" And I said, "Honey, I'm a transsexual. If that isn't queer, I don't know what is." And they asked me, "Are you really proud to be transgendered?" And I said, "Am I proud? You mean, am I proud to be uncovering the truth about gender? Am I proud to be exposing beliefs that are not true? Am I proud to have made peace with myself and to be sharing it with others? Am I proud to be pursuing a life that keeps me growing? Am I proud to have found courage to show my true nature? And am I proud to be associated with others like myself? You're damn right I'm proud." So to all those who still hide their true beauty, to those who care about where our society is heading, and especially those who fear for the welfare of their families, hear us today and take heart. Whatever your color, sizeability, beliefs, origin, language, income, gender, sexual orientation, or your special interest, join with us in cultivating pride and freedom of expression for everyone. Our first hymn today is number 347, Gather the Spirit.
I'm always delighted to get to do one of my 2.5 songs that are in this gray hymn book of ours. And I like to, they made me older than I am, but most of the notes are right. Oh, we've got it right up there. Okay. Okay. And I'm sorry, I have a strap to stand up with this thing, and I forgot it. So I'm going to sit down while you stand. And I like to start halfway through on the chorus, if you would, with that precipitous drop in the melody that happens. Gather in peace, gather in thanks, gather in sympathy now and then, gather in hope, compassion and strength, gather to celebrate once again. Here's the beginning. Gather the Spirit, harvest the power, our separate fires will kindle one flame. Witness the mystery of this hour, our trials in this light appear all the same. Gather. Body and spirit united once more. Gather. Sympathy now and then, gather in hope, compassion and strength, gather to celebrate once again.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to church this morning. There will be a time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments. Microphone's right there.
joyful to see so many of us out and marching yesterday. It was a great opportunity to show solidarity. Thanks for everyone who came, and I know the rest of you there were in spirit. It was awesome.
I wanted to share that my daughter Michaela tried out for the Nutcracker yesterday and got in. She doesn't know what her part is yet, but she's in. She's going to be a little dancer in the Nutcracker.
That's all we're happy about. Okay. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
A little over a week ago, a very dear friend, someone who, if you've ever been to the Alton Schnucks and you saw a lovely blonde woman smiling at you, it was probably her. I worked at Schnucks a long time ago. They were very good to me, and her name was Debbie, and she was a wonderful soul, and she's now resting. She lost a brief but very feisty battle with cancer. So please think of Debbie's family.
I'm sorry to report that Jim Elliott is not doing well at all. He's had a series of infections. They've given him one antibiotic after another. Nothing seems to be working. He's now in intensive care. Paul Hebert went to see him and was told he could not see him because he's in intensive care. So please keep Jim in mind because he is in a very difficult situation.
May the gratitudes and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared become a load lightened. At this time, I believe we have Debbie Lovell going to be reading our children's story. So that means Debbie and any kids maybe around?
Kids can stay in their seats.
Oh, they're going to stay in their seats. Okay.
Kids are going to stay in their seats.
You want to sit in the front? Okay.
Elmer. Come on, that's okay. Elmer was the happiest duckling in the whole forest. He loved to build things and paint pictures and play make-believe. He also enjoyed helping around the house and was especially fond of decorating cookies. Yes, Elmer was one of the happy ducklings doing all the things he loved to do. Unfortunately, there wasn't a single other little boy duckling who liked to do any of the stuff that Elmer did. Not one. They boxed while Elmer baked. When they built forts, Elmer made sandcastles. "You will never get along in the world if you don't learn to play with others," Papa Duck told his son. "It's time for you to learn baseball." Elmer played, but he didn't hit a single ball. He was relieved when the game was over, and he went off to play by himself. Elmer was getting ready for bed when he heard his papa shouting in the living room, "Sissy!" They called him Sissy. "Now I am the laughingstock of the whole flock." When Mama came to tuck Elmer into bed, it took all of his courage to ask her, "What's a sissy?" Mama sat down next to him and explained. "Sissy is a cruel way of saying that you don't do things the way others think you should." "How do they want me to do things?" "Just like they do," Mama said with a smile. "You are special, Elmer, and being special sometimes scares those who are not." "I don't want to be special," Elmer confessed quietly. "But you are," Mama said, holding Elmer close. "And one day you will amaze us all." The next day, Drake Duckling called Elmer a sissy. He threatened to fight Elmer and chased Elmer all the way home. Elmer was scared and hid under his bed. "He ran away instead of fighting," Papa bellowed. "He was being chased," Mama argued back. "In a few weeks, we will all fly south for the winter. It will be every duck for himself. Only the strong will survive. If you'd stop thinking like a sneaker commercial, you'd see that Elmer is just as strong as any other duckling. Elmer is a sissy." "Elmer is your son," Mama pleaded. "He's no son of mine," declared Papa. Poor Elmer heard his father's words, and his heart crumbled to pieces. What do you do when your own papa calls you names? Elmer didn't want to make his mama unhappy or his papa angry anymore. He filled his pillowcase with his paints and tools and a picture of his parents. He tied up the bundle and carried it away into the night. He found an old hollow tree deep in the forest. "No one will ever find me here," he thought. Just as Elmer had made his own toys, he now used his special talents to make his new home. "My house has everything I could ever want," he boasted. "Everything except my mama and papa." The grass turned white with the first frost of snow. His heart ached to see his parents once more before they flew south. As quietly as he could, he paddled back across the great pond and arrived just in time to see his flock readying for their journey. The flock took to the sky, and Elmer waved goodbye. Just then, a shot rang out, shattering the cold. Hunters leaped from behind the trees, their guns blasting. He was about to hide in the pond when he was stopped by the sound of a quiet moan. He parted the tall grass, and there, to his astonishment, he found his wounded papa. "Fly away, Elmer," Papa pleaded. "Forget me and save yourself. That's what every other duck would do." With all his strength, Elmer lifted the old duck and carried him to the safety of the pond. It may not have been what any other duck would do, but Elmer knew in his heart it was the right thing for him to do. With all his strength, Elmer lifted the old duck. Elmer nursed his father back to health. All winter long, they played games and told jokes and made things and laughed and talked and got to know each other. It was on a warm, cloudless morning that the sky exploded with the sounds of honking and flapping. Spring had come and the ducks were returning home. They gathered in the large field to give thanks for their safe journey. To everyone's shock, Papa stepped forward. "Papa, it was impossible. No duck had ever survived a winter in the forest. Not one, not ever, never." Mama ran to embrace Papa as the other ducks wondered, "How?" Elmer was so engrossed in cooking a pot of dandelion stew that he never even knew his mama was there until she said, "Are you two grown up to give me a kiss?" Elmer cried with joy and hugged her. I always knew you were special," she whispered to him. "And now everyone else knows too. I am so proud of you." The entire flock cheered when Elmer stepped from his home. One by one, each duck congratulated him for his bravery and loyalty and ingenuity. Elmer took a deep breath and then spoke his mind. "I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I am the same duck I have always been. I have not changed. I am a big sissy and proud of it." Over the years, Elmer learned he was not so very different after all. Out in the world, he met lots of other ducks just like himself. No, Elmer was not so different, but he always did remain special.
So we're going to be singing a new song to sing our children on the way. As some of you know, we needed to change the hymn we were doing to include the word God, which some of our folks are not comfortable with. So we're going to try something different, see what you all think. You remember the doxology that you always sing. It's the same hymn, just with these words. So join with me as you are comfortable. Rejoice in love we know and share, in love and beauty everywhere. Rejoice in truth that makes us free.
His hat was a tomato, so cute. The offering is a sacrament of the Free Church. What we mean by that is that we believe it is a blessing to be able to govern and support our religious community ourselves, to make possible by our generosity everything we dream of and do to live out our shared values. Every week, we lift up the spiritual value of generosity by taking an offering for the ministries of this church. Our plate then is passed among us, becomes filled with the evidence of that generosity. It is our harvest, gathered in every week for what most nourishes us. At the end of today's service, we will take an extra love offering to provide our monetary gratitude to Jim Scott for his presence with us today. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
No ears to hear it, no voice to speak. Suddenly lonely, suddenly meek. Feeling so strongly, feeling so weak. It's only love. It's only love, it's only love. It's only love, it's only love, it's only love. Fear and confusion, clouds in the skies, secret delusions, unspoken lies, sudden conclusions, tears in your eyes. It's only love, it's only love, it's only love. It's only love, it's only love, it's only love. Someone else's dreams were so real, it seems. You were in there too. Something just came over you, and it wasn't too, but love floating on winds. Then drop to the ground, cries and laughter without a sound. Feeling so lost for what we found. It's only love, it's only love, it's only love. It's only love. Love, it's only love.
I invite you to join me in reciting the offertory blessing up on the wall. To the work of the church. Which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. It is a praise day. It is a praise week. This week, we had the wonderful announcement that 5 additional states allow legal marriage, and that Missouri now has to recognize marriages from out of state. It is a praise week. It is a praise week when we had a peaceful start to the Ferguson October rallies all over the city. Thousands of people gathered to shout for justice, for love, for commitment, that no one need die for being who they are. It has been a praise week, a praise day. Praise justice, yes. There is a long road to go, to be sure. But as we go into our time of meditation and celebration, I want us to make sure we take stock in those times when things are going well. We have a long way to go, and I'll preach about that in a minute. But for right now, let us be joyful that so much change has happened. I'll just say, as a Hoosier, that means someone from Indiana. I never thought I'd see the day when gay marriage was legal in my home state. An amazing, amazing time. So I invite you now into a space of contemplation, meditation, or prayer, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to take notice of your body and the seat in which you're sitting. Be aware of the sounds, the scents, the feelings around you. To be here now. On this day, we offer great celebration for a world that is ever-changing. It can be scary to witness such change, and yet, for those long awaiting it, it is a place of relief, of home, of spirit. For those still struggling, may they know that they are enough, and may we stand, walk, be with them as they strive for their own change in the world. And for the celebrations within this congregation and for all that has been given to us, for the lives of our children, of our elders, of our community here, of this building of wonderful music, we offer our gratitude and our praise. For those in times of illness, those struggling even as we speak for life, may they know that they are loved and held by this community. We offer particular blessing to Jim Elliott and to his wife and to his family. May they have all the care and support that they need in this difficult time. And to Debbie and to all who have passed on this week, may there be peace and may their lives be rejoiced and celebrated. For those living with illness or pain, may you have all the care that you need. For those living with struggle for injustice, facing daily oppression, may you know that you are not alone. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal practice.
as you come back into this space, I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. Now in and out so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. May it be so. I invite you to stretch your arms out a little bit. We're about to change gears a little. We're going to be singing another Jim Scott hymn, May Your Life Be As a Song. Yes? Wasn't that the one you said?
Says in this song, I often use this as a goodbye song. The words to the verse say, my wish for you is now we part, but don't leave yet. may I say, I'm sitting down for this. Why don't we all stay sitting down for this? I think that'll work. If I might. You can fire me after this. The chorus is an old Russian folk tune, actually, that we did with the Paul Winter Consort, and I sort of jazzed it up, I guess, and went from Russia to Brazil. I'm not sure how that happened. My wish for you, as now we part, before we part, is for greater peace to fill your heart with dreams as vast as starry space. So hurt and anger know no place. May truth be shared and wounds be healed, and joy for living be revealed. Through every fate and circumstance, may hope lead weary steps to dance. And may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. I'll sing a line, you sing it back, and may your life be as a song. You try it, and may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night. May fears be turned with keen insight to wisdom for what's just and right. Where sorrow grows, compassion's strong, and pains will pass before too long. May the bounds of our diversity serve a richer harmony. May courage hold your heart so true, to smile on love when it smiles on you. And may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. Dawn, to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles. circles in the night. Well, this turns out to be a four-part round. Ha ha ha. But I know we can do it in at least two parts if you'll self-select. You know who you are. Rather than one side or the other, if you can sing the second part, I'll show you where it starts. If you're unsure, stick with me. Then again, if you're more adventurous or creative or lost, be part three or part four. And may your life be as a song, not yet, resound. And may your life be to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night.
So glad you're here.
Well, it's a delight. Thanks.
Reading is a little heavy, so I warn you now, and I just ask that you trust me that I will leave you in a very positive place by the end of the sermon. Can you go with me on that? I will now invite everyone to make sure that their phones, pagers, and whatnot are in worship mode. Heard a couple of beeps and things here and there, so if you make sure you're in worship mode, that would be great. These words are from Exile and Pride by Eli Clare. Eli, when Z wrote this, identified as a lesbian, now identifies as a genderqueer person who uses the Z and here pronouns. So just, you know, there's been change since this, but the words are so powerful. It transcends time and its quality. My queer body. I spent my childhood a tomboy, not sure of my girliness. Queer without a name for my queerness. I cut firewood on clear cuts, swam in the river, ran the beaches at Battle Rock and Cape Blanco. When I found dykes, fell in love for the first time, came into a political community, I felt as if I had found home again. The body is home, but only if it is understood that language too lives under the skin. I think of the words crip, queer, freak, redneck. None of these are easy words. They mark the jagged edge between self-hatred and pride. The chasm between how the dominant culture views marginalized people and how we view ourselves. The razor between finding home, finding our bodies, and living in exile, living on that metaphoric mountain. Whatever our relationships with these words, whether we embrace them or hate them, feel them draw blood as they hit our skin, or find them entirely fitting, we deal with their power every day. I hear these words all the time. They are whispered in the mirror as I dress to go out, as I straighten my tie and shrug into my suit jacket. On the streets, as folks gawk at my trembling hands, stare, trying to figure out whether I'm a woman or a man. And half the rhetoric where rural working class people get cast as clods and bigots. At the same time, I use some but not all of these words to call out my pride, to strengthen my resistance, and to place myself in community. Crip, queer, freak, redneck, buried into my body. The body is home, but only if it is understood that bodies can be stolen, fed lies and poison, and torn away from us. They rise up around me, bodies stolen by hunger, war, breast cancer, AIDS, rape, the daily grind of factory, sweatshop, cannery, and sawmill, the lynching rope, the freezing streets, the nursing home, and the prison. African-American drag performer Leonard Lynn Vines, walking through his Baltimore neighborhood, called a drag it queen, faggot, bitch, and shot 6 times. Matt Shepard, gay, white, young, tied to a fence post in Wyoming and beaten to death. Some bodies are taken for good. Other bodies live on, numb, abandoned, full of self-hate. Both have been stolen. Disabled people cast as super crips and tragedies. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people told over and over again that we are twisted and unnatural. Poor people made responsible for their own poverty. Stereotypes and lies lodge in our bodies just as surely as bullets do. They live and fester there, stealing the body. The body is home, but only if it is understood that the stolen body can be reclaimed. The bodies irrevocably taken from us, we can memorialize them in quilts, granite walls, and candlelight vigils. Remember and mourn them. Use their deaths to strengthen our will. And as for the lies and false images, we need to name them, transform them, create something entirely new in their place. Something that comes close and finally true to the bone. Entering our bodies is liberation, joy, fury, and hope. A will to refigure the world. The body as home. I invite you to take a deep breath in. The body is home. Some of you have noticed in prayers and meditations I do, I invite you to think about your pinky toe. How often do you spend paying attention to the fullness of your body, not just the part that aches that day or is giving you that particular moment of pleasure, but the allness of who you are? Too often we live in a world that asks us to deny the wholeness of who we are, to live outside of our authentic selves, to be away from our wholeness. You know, we need to be just the perfect level of wisdom and just the right size and have just the right makeup and clothes and drive just the right car. You know you're supposed to be driving that Prius, right? Not that gas-guzzling whatever. Just right. If you're a Unitarian Universalist, we have our own expectations. You should not be judgmental, but sometimes we are, darn it. If you're intellectual, you're supposed to not be in touch with your heart. Yeah, right. We are whole beings living in a world that tries to tell us to live to some ideal that we will never achieve. And I'll tell you right now, I know some of my really A-type personalities hate this. You will never, ever be perfect in your lifetime. Give it up. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that. Who cares? Another of you are like, I'll prove you wrong, sunshine. Our body as home. And do we not need any other way to understand that we can't accept the fullness of who each other is and our own diversity than through the violence that people experience every day? For being African American, for being Native American, for being Asian American, for being queer, transgender, bisexual, lesbian, gay, for being a young adult, for being an elder, for being not from this country and not speaking the language, for being a weed. My environmental anthropology class, we were taught the definition of a weed is a plant that is out of place. In other words, all weeds are plants. My favorite is the dandelion. I tend to be very happy when I see dandelions, and I don't want to get rid of them. I don't understand people who do. They're lovely. And my grandfather fries them for breakfast. Ugh. A weed is a plant out of place. It is not inherently a bad thing. It is a bad thing because we say it is. because we do not live in harmony with our environment. How dare that thing grow in the middle of my lawn? I want it perfect. Right. And so too we live in our lives, and we teach our children to live to these expectations that they will never achieve. To get all A's is somehow to be an inherently good person and to not. But you should also be athletic. You also should be kind. You should also be volunteering. You should also be all of these things until we've pulled our kids so many different directions they've forgotten who they are. How many of us lived through that kind of a childhood where we forgot who we were? I know, at least for me, I grew up in a world where men and women did very specific things. Now, this is farming community, so women chopped wood. That was expected. You did not ask a man to carry something for you. That would have been stupid. That said, you had better be in the kitchen cooking, and you had better be the person who knows how to sew and clean and keep the family together and raise the kids and do 50 things at once. How many of you out there who had that expectation failed to meet it? I know many did not, regardless of your gender identity. You just found your own way. It's the power of the feminist, womanist, and mujerista movements that they helped us find a path of wholeness. Unfortunately, the same is not true for men. The greatest violence seen in the transgender community tends to be towards transgender women. Towards transgender women who are not seen for who they are. In fact, anybody who fails to fit within the narrow confines of what it means to be male may be faced with ostracism. And so I'm continually impressed with youth and young adults these days who insist on, if they are male identified, wearing a dress to prom because they want to. The world is changing, and it's changing in our time, and perhaps not as fast as some of us would like, but it is changing. And so this week, we see these changes. We have so many places where marriage is legal. And yet, in so many of those states, you can still be fired and you can still lose your house for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. You can still not have the violence against you reported to the FBI as a hate crime because it may not be considered a hate crime in your state to be attacked for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. You may be time and again thrown into a situation where you have to educate your doctor about how to give you your own medical care because they don't know how to serve gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. Too many elders are dying alone because their families have ostracized them and their friends have died as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender elders. There is still a lot of work to do. In more than 30 states, 34 states in fact, it is perfectly legal to fire someone who is transgender for being trans, to kick them out of their housing. In most of the states in the union, it is perfectly acceptable for a doctor to say they don't want your same-sex spouse with you unless you have a marriage certificate. So even though marriage equality has been achieved, that does not mean that all rights thereof have been achieved. We still have a long, long way to go. My friend, Reverend Dr. Paul Hard, is an Episcopalian, lives in Alabama. He has continually been fighting for 3 years to receive money that should have been left to him upon the death of his husband, and has yet to receive that, and has had to put up innumerable resources in order to say he has the same rights as anyone else, even though he was married in a different state. And what is particularly hard is that his husband's mother is the one who keeps fighting to get the money for herself. And not necessarily because she wants the money, but because she doesn't think that Paul should have it. We have a long way to go. And yet I take heart because almost all of my friends who are Republican are for the rights of gay and lesbian people. The world is changing, and it is changing in our time. So yesterday was National Coming Out Day. How many of you came out? Anybody? I came out on Facebook. Yeah, woo! Out of the closet. I'll come out here because I do this. You'll hear me do this again at next National Coming Out Day. I am transgender, genderqueer, pansexual, and queer, and proud of it. Thank you very much. And I invite you to be proud of it as well, of who you are, a straight ally, a person who bends gender, even if you're perfectly comfortable identifying as whoever you are. Just saying that we do not all need to be normal, whatever the heck that means. The body as home. Coming out of the closet means saying that the body matters, that the information that our bodies provide tell us something about the world, that we need not cut off our arm to spite our face. The body as home can be a painful place. And for those who are still in the closet, that is a safe place to be. It is one kind of safety. It means the safety of keeping a job, of keeping housing, the safety of not facing violence, often from one's own family, the safety of losing one's family, and the grief of that loss. There is safety in being in the closet, and I want to say to folks who may be in the closet here today, please stay there until you're ready, and know we are here for you. I do not belittle those who are in the closet, because I remember what it was like to be there. It can be a safe place. And yet it is also risky, because if someone finds out, then the game turns. It is also risky being out of the closet. It is risky saying to the world, I am proud of who I am, and you're not going to tell me otherwise. As a transgender minister in Unitarian Universalism, I am the 13th ordained transgender minister. I am one of four still in the ministry. Not because folks didn't want a job, but because our congregations have a long way to go. We want to be more welcoming than we actually are. And we do this with every kind of oppression. We want to be against racism, but we're not as far as we want to be. We want to be against homophobia, but we're not always as far as we want to be. We all have work to do. And again, we cannot be perfect. We can only do what we can do. But part of the authenticity of accepting the body as home is accepting the truth as it is, not as we wish it to be. I'd love to be taller. Never gonna happen. I hear you, right? And I suspect there are some tall people who would love to be just a little bit shorter, right? Yes, right? So, you know. But we can't make those things happen any more than we can be less homophobic or less racist than we live each day. And we are not these things because we are inherently bad people, but because we live in a society soaked with messages that say this is what's normal. So I invite you on this National Coming Out Day to resist normality. I know Unitarian Universalists don't need that encouragement always. But sometimes we need to be reminded that it is a risk, and it is a risk worth taking. It is easier to be silent at times. But I ask you, if you are silent, who's at risk? You or the person you're not speaking up for? The body is home, and the stolen body can be reclaimed. So I invite you to take a moment and look at your hands or your wrist. Come on, do it. I know, some of you are like, I ain't doing anything you tell me. It's okay, you don't have to follow everything I say. And be aware of your own body. Offer gratitude for it. Maybe it causes you pain, but it allows you to be in this world and with this community. And maybe the world isn't fully ready for all of you yet, but you know what? Too bad. We want all of you here. And so on this day, in this praise day, as we celebrate so many changes that are coming, that have come, so much work yet to do for the battle, the struggle for justice is ongoing and will not happen in our lifetimes, which is both oppressing and liberating. May you know that you are enough. May you say yes to the world and yes to all of who you are, not just who you wish you were. May it be so. And happy National Coming Out Day, y'all. Can I get any national? Yeah. There we go. Woo! National Coming Out Day. All right. Somebody said, you all don't know the song Standing on the Side of Love. Is that true? Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. We're going to sing Standing on the Side of Love.
Sitting while singing standing is...
Well, as some of our...
Figuratively standing as we...
Some of our ableism folks have reminded us not everybody can stand on the side of love. It's a spiritual stand.
Okay. What we could use is a little more light over in the music section. The promise of the Spirit. Faith open to divine.
I invite you to stay standing and see where the chandelier is. Turn and face towards each other, that being the midpoint. This is our holy community. This is where we can come out in faith and say that we believe in reason. We believe in the inherent worth of every person standing here. We believe in the power of the Spirit to change the world, that it is in this life and not in the next that we will find heaven in ourselves. So may you know that you are enough this moment. May you be your whole and authentic selves. Look at all these whole and authentic selves around you. You see them? We are here for you. May we see you next week in joy and comfort and in wholeness. May it be so, and I invite you to say yes to life.
Yes to life.
Please be seated. I want to thank Jim for coming in today. As mentioned earlier, we will have a special collection plate up here to provide him. He said he would do this gratis or with a love offering, and I want to thank him for doing either one of those things. So if you're able and willing, please provide some money to support him, and he will provide us with a postlude as we go today.
It'll go right in the gas tank. Can I turn this up a little bit? Mystery. I feel its harmony in ebb and crest. Peace is a work of art that moves the open heart. Peace is a place to start and final rest. Harmony of harmony, I hear you sing to me. Let it wash over me, let it begin. Harmony of harmony, unfolding melody, I am your instrument. Let peace begin with me. Peace is a beacon bright that brings us inner sight, a radiating light conquering fear. Peace is the wild bird's call, the painted leaves in fall. Peace is the health of all, I feel it here. Harmony of harmony, I hear you sing to me. Let it wash over me, let it begin. Harmony of harmony, unfolding melody, I am your instrument. Let peace begin with me. Peace is a field of grain, neath sun and gentle rain, in nature's glad refrain of love begun. All beings' songs are sung as bells together rung. Peace speaks in every tongue, all songs are one. Harmony of harmony, I hear you sing to me. Let it wash over me, let it begin. Harmony of harmony, unfolding melody, I am your instrument. Let peace begin with me. Over to Carbondale this, later this afternoon. I'm doing a concert, and I know it's a little commute. We won't. It's wonderful. I collect Unitarian Universalist churches, so it's delightful to visit with you all this morning. We might have mentioned that I was trying to find gigs in this area so I could go on the march yesterday in St. Louis, which was great fun and empowering, and Google it or go on down. Gosh, you're close to Ferguson here, aren't you? we hear about you on national TV. Carry on. Thank you so much for having me today. Thanks to Reverend Sunshine for saying yes. I don't like to let a Sunday morning go by without being somewhere. Hey, thanks a lot.